Thank you, Brother Brian. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And we will, you can also find Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. So 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. If you can find the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Get the Psalms, go right a couple books, and you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I introduced this sermon a couple Wednesday nights ago, I believe it was, and dealing with the content of the fact that knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, one of the great joys, one of the tremendous blessings is because knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, to understand and realize this world is not our home. Hallelujah. Brother Jonathan, were you able to figure that out? Okay, all right. There's a possibility, why I was asking Brother Jonathan, that there's a possibility that the young man that passed away that I'll be preaching this year tomorrow may have been in Brother Stephen Brudnick's youth group. Many of you know Pastor Brudnick down in Missouri now, but he was in Michigan for many, many years, and he was a youth pastor at Community Baptist in 12 Mile in Madison Heights there. So we're trying to validate that. And if that was the case, there's no doubt in my mind that young man knew, had heard the gospel, and so I'm blessed to know that, if that's a situation. But again, just continue to pray for that situation. But again, back in the context of the fact that knowing Jesus, and here's something else, and I hope you'll really wrap your heart and your mind around this, and that is that God, and I know sometimes, especially when we're younger, the older we get, of course, we know we kind of have a more, perhaps, hopefully have a more understanding that, but here's the thought. God never intends for us to live here forever. Now you say, preacher, why are you making that statement? Because here's why I'm making that statement. If we're not careful, we can really get disheartened. It can be disheartening to us when we think about, well, man, I don't know how long we'll live or what have you. But here's the good news. This world is not our final dwelling place. That if you know Jesus as your Savior, the wonderful news is the very moment we draw our last breath on this side of eternity, we're going to be ushered in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me share something with you. Let me encourage you tonight. You'll always be with Him from that day on. You'll never not be in His presence. Can I get a witness in the building? Absolutely. The joy of knowing, because we know Jesus as our Savior, to know that we will be with Him forevermore. Well, I've been preaching on Him for 25 years. I've been preaching about a man I've never met face to face, but I know Him personally in the saving knowledge of Christ and being born again, having my sins forgiven, the death and resurrection of Jesus, knowing that I'm saved, but to know that one of these days, Brother Brian, I will see Him. I'll see Christ. And here's another thing. John the Apostle knew about it. John the Apostle talked about that in the book of 1 John. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why, John? Because John then says it. He said, for we shall see Him as He is. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing Jesus Christ in all of His glory, in all of His splendor, in all of His, and to worship and adore Him in person? Wow. But let me share some bad news. Here's the bad news. As we live in this old earth and live on this old earth, one of the reasons that, and there are many, there are really honestly a plethora of reasons why I do not believe in evolution, and the Bible does not support evolution. But one of the main reasons I could say is this, because evolution teaches that we start here, but we get better, 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 better. But you and I, if you're 35 years or older, you and I know this physical body doesn't get better, right? I will not ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you took a Motrin or an Advil or a Tylenol today? Don't raise your hand, because we're not pushing all the drug companies. You say, preacher, what's the point? This world and this physical body is dying. It is decaying. They say, preacher, boy, that's a blessing. I'm glad I came tonight. No, hear me for a minute. But understand, this world, God never ever intended. When He made you, when He created you, and I hope you'll hear this. When God created you and God made you, physically brought you into being, He never intended for you to live on this earth forever. He made you with a, he made you a body. You have a soul. He made the body that houses you, that is your tabernacle, that is your house. He made it to die. Now you say, wow, I never really looked at that like that. Well, let's look at the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Preaching on the subject simply, this world is not our home. This world is not our home. Death is a fact to be faced, but death is not a fact to be feared if you have Christ as your Savior. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not. Paul's speaking now. But though our outward man, that's what you see, that's what you see in the mirror, the physical body, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is what you don't see. That's the having Christ as your Savior, that's that inward man. The inward man, the outward man perishes. You can use all the anti-aging creams that you can buy, but the outward man is dying. It is perishing, right? You can't stop that. No matter how many times we try, and I thank God for the medical field, and I thank God for doctors, but they will not stop. It's impossible to stop the aging process. And he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know, Paul says, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, he's talking about our physical body, the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved there, verse 3, literally destroyed. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal. You see that? There's a comparison here. You have temporary, you have eternal. You have decaying, dying, but then you have something that's going to live forever. So what's the thoughts here? It's eternal in the heavens, verse 2. For in this, he's talking about in this physical body, and I think you may say amen when I read this. For in this physical body, we groan. Can I get a witness in the building? Absolutely, we groan. Been doing yard work for a couple days. What a friend we have in Jesus, amen? I mean, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. He says it again. He thought it was bad the first time. He says we do groan. Maybe he's a little older now saying it. We groan, he says, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Father, we love you. Bless the reading of your word, we ask. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This world is not our home. Somebody said, you're not ready to live until you're no longer afraid to die. I kind of like that statement. You know, there are often in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, many times in the Word of God, one time in specific terms, the Lord Jesus talked about the fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but I just want to read a verse to you. If you want to turn, you can. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, just turn over there, because I think it'll help us as we kind of look at this series, this sermon series tonight. You said sermon series tonight. No, we're not going to keep you too long. Hebrews chapter 2. The theme of the book of Hebrews. Remember, the context is very important. Let me also give you a thought on context. You'll hear me use that. I've used that 1,000 times when I've preached. Talking about understanding the context of a verse. Let me say this to you. Context of the verse or passage, it is context that determines meaning. Context determines the meaning. They say, preacher, why is that important? Well, because if you don't have the verse in its context, you can make it and twist it to say anything you want it to say. But it may not be what the author is intending it to say, right? Let me illustrate it. The Bible says, and there's a verse of Scripture that says, Judas went out and hung himself. There's another verse of Scripture that says, go and do thou likewise. So question, is context important? Judas went out and hanged himself, go and do thou likewise. Now, without the context, you say, preacher, I didn't realize it was about that important. Now, let me flesh this out for a minute. Without the context of those two verses of Scripture I just gave you, you can basically take the Bible and mean it to say things that it never meant to say. It never intended to say. So you say, preacher, I never really looked at it like that. Well, trying to whet your appetite and hope to help you as you study the Word of God. Context determines meaning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2, verse 7. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. He's talking about Christ here. The context of these verses is the fact that Christ is superior because of his humanity. He was the God-man. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And yet we know that Jesus Christ, as a man, and this is vital, this helps you in the context of this passage. Jesus, because he was God in the flesh, here's a vital, vital thought about Christ and his humanity. He did not sin one time. You say, preacher, you say, I know that. You preach that all the time. Well, it's important that you never forget that. Because there is a lot in this world that try to say that he did sin. Hollywood portrays Christ as a savior. Here's the devastating news. Hollywood portrays my savior as a man who had a sexual relationship with a woman outside of marriage. We know that, by the way, he didn't do that. Because the Bible absolutely says he was sinless. He was a sinless son of God. That's important that we know that. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons in the glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. But notice verse 13. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death, look at this, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, look at this now, look at verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death. There are those that fear death. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the worst thing in the world for you to do is get older. You say, preacher, why is that? Because the older you get, the closer you and I are to death, right? You say, well, I didn't know you were that much of a scholar. No, hear me. The older you get, the closer you are to dying. Now, if you have Jesus as your Savior, and by the way, there's two ways you can die. You can die in your sins without Christ, or you can die in Christ. I would much rather die in Christ than die lost in my sins. If you die in Christ, here's the glorious news. Your sin problem has been paid for, right? Your sins have been forgiven. And you have a justified standing before God the Father. And therefore, dying in Christ assures you a home of heaven, home in heaven. If you die in your sins, there's a hell that awaits you. So please don't die. You watching my internet, do not die in your sins. You do not have to do that. You say, well, how can I not die in my sins? Realize you're a sinner before God. Repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner. And by faith, believe the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Putting your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone secures your eternal destiny in a place called heaven. So you come back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The fear of death keeps one in bondage. But it is not until a man who is no longer afraid to die, then and only then, is he ready to live. Now, in the context of Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, there are a few thoughts that we're going to glean in this. We talked about the fact that, first of all, this world is not our home. In the context of the wording that Paul uses and the image, the word pictures that Paul uses, he compares our physical body to a tabernacle or a house. He calls it a house. Now, if that in that image, in those words that paint this picture here, well, let's notice some things about this house that we live in. First of all, we talked about this the other night, that this house is in a process of traveling on. Better yet, perishing. It is dying. I know you're encouraged tonight by that. You say, preacher, I've tried my best to eat well and exercise. And listen, we should do that. And I try, man, I do. I've been trying to do a lot better in that. But ultimately, this body is dying. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. He says it, for it's cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, there in verse 16. Our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's more to you, hear me, there's more to you than your physical body. But we live in a culture, we live in a world that honestly, I remember talking to somebody, it was not too long ago, and it was two guys, and these two guys, I love them, but they drive me nuts. You got anybody like that in your family? I know you don't. But they all they ever want to talk about is how they're doing and how they're exercising and how they're eating better and this and this and this. And then in the same statements, in the same conversation, they always want to say things about my weight and this and this and this. So finally, I had all I could stand. Like, I've had all I can stands and can't stands no more, right? To quote my theologian that I really follow. But some of you are like, who is that? Well, Popeye. Okay, so anyway, sorry. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Not shouldn't judge. So I finally looked at him. I said, well, I said, the difference between me and you is I said, I have not made my body a god in my life. You said that? Yeah. You pick on a fat guy, you mess with the bull, you get the horns, right? You don't mess with it. And by the way, whoever said fat guy doesn't have feelings? That's a lie from hell. We do. Leave us alone. You say, you said that? Yes, I said that. But anyway, you say, well, did you ask Jesus to forgive you for saying it? No, because I meant it. And my life verse used to be, Brother Randy, used to be, my life verse used to be this, a portion of the verse, bodily exercise profiteth little. That was my life verse for a long, long time. And I think if you track it a little deeper, I would even add, very little. But anyway, I try not to do any more. Try to do a little better. So, but this body is traveling on. It's perishing. Time doesn't stop, right? Time doesn't stop. I remember as a kid, being told as a kid, don't rush your life away. Don't wish your life away. You remember when you were a young kid, you couldn't wait to become a teenager? Woohoo, man, when I get 13, wow, I'm going to be really living. 13 came, then you couldn't wait to get 16, right? 16, get your car. Then 18. Oh, I can't wait to get 18. Then 21. Oh, I can't wait to be 21. After that, I don't know that I ever hear anybody say, I can't wait to get 30. I can't wait to get 40. Time doesn't stop. Don't wish your life away. And as kids, we're told that. Oh, I can't wait till I'm 13. Oh, don't wish your life away, son. It will happen soon enough. And it does, and it has. Time doesn't stop. It's crazy to think. I was talking to Les's uncle the other day. I said, you realize? I said, I've been married to your niece for over 20 years. He's like, my word, that's unbelievable. I was like, yeah, I know. I would never dream she'd put up with me for that long. But time doesn't stop. So Paul, he wants us now. And they say, preacher, why are you going in this aspect of it? Well, because, I mean, honestly, I've done a lot of funerals lately. But here's the glorious news, is to know that the God that you and I serve, he never, ever intended for us to stay on this earth. Let me bless you. Let me encourage you tonight. God intends for you and I to enjoy his fellowship forever. Wow. Face to face. A reunion that there'll be no departing, right? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. It's a traveling on position. It's perishing. But second of all, this house that we live in, it's in troublesome condition. Verse 17 of chapter 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You said, preacher, I don't know. Wait a minute now. I tracked with you for the first point, but light affliction. Now, again, you need to know who's writing this. The Apostle Paul is writing this. If you were to look at his life from a human perspective, that's a key. I preface that with that statement for this reason. From a human perspective, Paul's life was anything but light affliction. He had been beaten. He'd been shipwrecked and left for dead. He'd been bitten by a snake one time, a poisonous snake. I mean, he had been imprisoned. He'd been beaten with a cat of nine tails several times. He'd been hit so many times that they thought he died. I mean, and yet Paul says they're light affliction. This light affliction, look what he says there. Verse 17. For our light affliction, and then I love his next statement, which is but for a moment. But for a moment. One of the greatest phrases in all the Word of God is this phrase. This too shall pass. Get a hold of that. This too shall pass. This light affliction. Weeping, the psalmist said, may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? Joy cometh in the morning. What a joy to know that this is light, this light affliction. You say, yeah, but pastor, it's difficult. Sure. Afflictions are. It's troublesome. Sure. This troublesome condition that we're in. He says in verse 17, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5. For in this we groan. This tabernacle, this house that we live in, we groan. He says it again in verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. God never designed us and God never intended for us to live in this earthly tabernacle forever. To which I say, thank God that he didn't. Thank the Lord Jesus above that he never intended for us to live here forever. You say, preacher, where's the fountain of youth? If I may, it's found in Jesus. Right? You say, wait a minute, preacher, hold on. You said this physical body's dying. Yes, I did, and the Bible confirms it. But you do know you're much more than a physical body. You have a soul. And that soul, if you've been born again, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all your sins, and guess what? You're going to live forever. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You said, you make no sense, preacher. The body's dying. You're absolutely right. It's going to die. You can mark it down. You can mark it down. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, 1,000 out of 1,000 people will die. There's coming a day. Let me encourage you. There's going to come a day, chances are, whether it be like at a funeral home, whether it be in a church sanctuary, they'll lay your body there. A preacher will say a few words. You say, preacher, are you trying to be disrespectful? No, 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 hear my heart. God is my witness. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm just trying to get us to understand the Lord Jesus never intended for us to stay here forever. But here's what I will tell you. When they lay my body out in this sanctuary, I hope it's 100 years from now, but you say, preacher, are you scared to die? No, I'm not scared to die, but I don't want to be on the next bus up, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? But when they lay this body out, I promise you this, I'll be more alive. And many of your loved ones that have died in Jesus, and I've had the honor and the privilege to preach in their funeral services, they are more alive at that moment than they ever have been in their life. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul says it even in these verses. He goes on, It's troublesome condition. But then last of all, it's a temporary condition. And then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and see what Solomon has to say about it. In verse 18 of chapter 4, though, Paul says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I hope it's going to get a little humorous as we look at this passage of Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, here's the context. Solomon, the wisest man ever to live on this earth, apart from Jesus himself, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. In the context of the book of Ecclesiastes, a preacher using that word a lot. Yeah, I very intentionally use the word context. The context of Ecclesiastes is this. Solomon, humanly speaking, he's tried everything he can to bring satisfaction into his life. He's tried wine, no satisfaction in that. He's tried women, no satisfaction in that, in relationship after relationship after relationship. He had many wives, he had concubines, you name it. He's tried wine, he's tried women, he's tried wealth, no satisfaction in any of that. So now he comes towards, perhaps he's writing towards an end of his life, and he says in verse 1, notice what he says. Notice how he begins chapter 12. Remember. Remember what, Solomon? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 2 now. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house, he uses that word house there. Paul used the word house, tabernacle. So Solomon now is going to speak into the notion that we have a physical body that is dying, it's perishing. It's not getting better. Are you kidding me? Now, we may improve our quality of life by exercising. Right, Brother Andy? Right? We improve. It does. It helps us. You know, I'm able to walk up these steps without having an asthma attack now. Thank the Lord. But working the yard a little bit is helping. But my point is this. We may be able to improve our quality of life by diet and exercise and lose a few pounds and all that. But ultimately, we're going to die one of these days. Brother Andy Darty, he's not as nice as a preacher as I am. He said, Tracy, he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I have a doctor. This is Brother Andy's doctor. He says, I have a doctor. Every time I go see him, he gets on me about losing weight. He said, and finally, one day, he said to me, and I'm just quoting Brother Andy. He said to me, he says, to Brother Andy, his doctor said to him, he says, you need to lose weight. His foreign doctor said, you need to lose weight. The pool, water is your friend. Well, Miss Ruby said, how is drinking water going to help him? And Andy goes, he meant the pool, Ruby. Getting in the pool is my friend, and exercise, low impact. He said, but finally, one day, I couldn't handle it anymore. He said, the doctor was getting on me about my weight. Finally, I looked at him. He said, you know, Doc, we're all going to die. He said, you're skinny, I'm not so skinny. That's the politically correct way of saying we're overweight. But he said, but we're all going to die. He said, it kind of stunned his doctor there for a minute. But Solomon writes in this passage, he wants us to see in poetic language. That's important. The Word of God, there's different genres, there's different styles of writing throughout the Word of God. And Solomon now is going to write in poetic language, kind of using some illustrations of our body and how our body is not getting better, it's getting worse. And let's kind of dig into this and let's see this temporary troublesome condition here. He says in verse 3, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Solomon, using poetic language, what happens to us as our bodies, our earthly houses, wear out. So if he's using this type of language here, the keepers of the house, what are the keepers of the house? They're your hands that protect you. You know, when I think of my hands, I'll be honest with you. They're deadly, man. They're weapons of mass destruction, right? They're registered at every Taco Bell within a 100-mile radius of this church. They're deadly. Paul Blart, that movie was made after me. I was a security guard at Cincinnati Reds games. I was tough, man. had my little badge. I was so bad as security guard. I was sitting in my little guard shack one day. Have I told you the story? I'm sitting in my guard shack one day at the BP Oil big refinery down in Bromley, Kentucky. And it's right on the Ohio River. And I'm sitting in this little guard shack. And I'll kid you not, from here to the second pew, I park my car. And I'm in this guard shack while, you know, I look around occasionally. I'm sure I was reading my Bible. And I look down to the end of the pier, and the engineer is doing this. He's waving, and he's pointing, and he's waving, and he's pointing. I'm like, what? Hey, how you doing? And look, and he's pointing. I'm like, why is he pointing? So I open the door. I'm literally 10, 15 feet, right, from the guard shack. I open the door, and a guy was breaking into my car. You say, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I did. I gave him about a 30-second head start. Then I went running after him. You say, why didn't you go after him right there? I ain't no dummy, right? Detect, deter, report. That's my objective. Detect, deter, and report. Not tackle the guy and get beat up. Detect, deter, and report. So I chased him. It was good. But registered, man, these hands. Registered with Taco Bell, other Dunkin' Donuts. Coffee, Brother Randy. Not donuts, coffee. But you know what Solomon's saying here? He's talking about life, and he's talking about the body. Look what he says in verse 3. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. These hands that are strong, hung a lot of drywall, Brother Tommy, over the years. They worked a lot of construction. I remember one time, this is a few years back, I went to my doctor, and I was talking to my doctor about something, and I said, Doc, I'll be honest with you. I said, I don't know how in the world this is happening. I said, all those years, I hung drywall. And my sorry doctor, Will Van Moore, Dr. Lorenz, he says, Tracy, that was a long time ago. I'm like, thank you, Mr. Pessimist, for letting the air out of my bubble there, popping my balloon. But you know what's going to happen? And I've seen it. Perhaps you've seen it. Solomon says the keepers of the house, these strong hands, there's a possibility. Guess what's going to happen as you get out older? They're going to tremble. Right? He's bringing us, not morbidly, he's just wanting to prepare us and get us to understand this body is dying. It's perishing. Regardless if we live to be 20 years old or 32 years old like this young man did, or we live to be over 100 years of age, the body will die. So he goes on. And then he says, verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men are the knees that become bowed. There was a time when we would run up the stairs. Then there was a time when we would walk up the stairs. Now we take the elevator. Can I get a witness in the building? Right, we take an elevator. Why? Because the body, it ages, it gets older. And so Solomon, he's wanting us to understand this. That's why he says in verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because when you're young, in the context of what he's talking about, there's going to come a day when the body will no longer be as strong as it used to be. He goes on. So he's talking about the knees. And then I like this one. And the grinders cease because they are few. You know what the grinders are? They're your teeth. You see, when we're young, right? When we're young, we go in to get our teeth clean. When we get older, we send them in, right? We send our teeth in. I remember saying to somebody, one of the guys in my church, he's in the church, he's like, yeah. He says, I got a dentist appointment. I told him, I said, brother, aren't you old enough to just mail them things in, get the work done? He's like, shut up, preacher. He told the preacher to shut up. Can you believe that? But it happens. That's what happens. As we age, we get older, and there's so many. It's really kind of funny, some of the things that he uses here. Notice the fourth thing he says. Those that look out the windows. Look at verse 4. Verse 3, excuse me. And those that look out the windows be darkened. That's our eyes. Not as sharp of sight as they used to be, right? Man, I can remember, Brother Tommy, I remember when I was a teenager, early 20s. Man, hit a golf ball, you can see a long, long way. Those days are gone. You said, preacher, you're only 42 years old. I know, but my eyes are 140, I think. The good thing about me and my wife, true story, the good thing, me and my wife talk about this a lot. The good thing about me and Les is my eyes are horrible. So, but she has phenomenal eyes. She can see I think she can see a mosquito cross its legs at a half a mile. Seriously. Like those old two boys were arguing, and one said to his buddy, he says, I'll tell you what, Charlie, he says, I got the best eyes in the county. He goes, really? Do you? And he says, yep, Pete. And Pete says, come on, Charlie. He says, no, I got best eyes. And Charlie goes, well, he says, you see out there about a half mile of that barn? And Charlie says, yeah, I see that barn. Or Pete says, I see that barn, Charlie. And he goes, see that mosquito on top of that barn? And Pete says, yeah, Charlie. He says, you mean the mosquito that has its legs crossed? You know, so they were always in competition as who had the better eyes. But you know, as you get older, what happens? Our eyes get dimmer. We go to bifocals. You say, preacher, are you wearing bifocals yet? Not yet. I'm just in, somebody said, you're just in denial. You're absolutely right. I can't always see a hymn book. See, when I read a hymn book like this. Why? Because the eyes are not as sharp as they used to be. And Solomon's saying that. He says that. And then he says in verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. The doors shall be shut in the streets. What is he talking about there? That's our hearing. You cannot hear what's going on because your hearing fails as you get older. Somebody said that's a gift of God. If you're married, can I get a witness in the building? I'm just saying what I was told. Hearing as you get older, it fails. It's a natural process. It's just the body as it's slowly digressing. And then he says, look at the next one. And he shall, verse 4, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Now, what is he saying there? Well, he's talking about, you know, as you get older, you should be able to sleep in. But you get up when the rooster crows. Somebody say, yeah, because you have to go to the bathroom. That may be true. I don't know. But the point is, and Solomon's talking about it. Again, let's just move on. Let's get through this so we can finish up here. And look at the next one. Verse 5. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. What's he talking about there? Well, you know what? Let me illustrate like this. My little grandmother, she was scared of heights. When I was younger, I know, Brother Tommy, you did drywall. We did some silly things when I was younger doing drywall. But no joke, we'd have, Brother Steve, we'd have a scaffolding set up 3 scaffold bucks high, a 6-foot ladder, no joke, a 6-foot ladder, 2 scaffold bucks, a 6-foot ladder on top of that, and a bucket on top of the 6-foot ladder hanging sheets of drywall. I have to take a Xanax if I even think about that today. You know why? Because the fear, you get fearful, right? You get, that's commonality. We can get fearful as we grow older and that fear. So my grandmother, Big Rose, she was scared of heights. So you know what we would do as kids when we'd get in trouble? We'd go straight to the top of the tree. True story. My grandmother, and I quote, this is what Big Rose used to do to us. She used to say to me, and I've heard that, I can hear it like it's yesterday. She'd look up at that tree and said, I'll tell you one thing, honey, and it ain't two things. She always loved that phrase. She said, if you fall out of that tree and break your neck, I'll beat you to death. She used to say that. So we'd process, we were smart, like kids. Okay, fall out, break my neck, you're going to beat me to death. Okay, Big Rose. And then we'd come back down. Once she calmed down, and she'd be laughing. And then he says, verse 5, I'm almost done. We've got to hurry. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. The grasshopper shall be a burden. What's the significance of that? Often as we get older, what little things take on immense proportions. That happens as we get older. We blow things out of proportions, things that never used to bother me. My wife says this, man, years ago, things never bothered you years ago. And I would often say to her, that was before I had a wife and 3 kids and killed 4 dogs, right? Well, I think as you get older, it happens. And then he says, look at what else he says. We're going somewhere because this is phenomenal. It's poetic, but it's very phenomenal wording. Look at the 9th thing he says. Verse 5, and the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree, the white blossom of the almond tree speaks of the white blossom of the white hair on the head. You may not believe this, but when Leslie and I were dating, you can ask her this. When Leslie and I were dating, I had just a few little gray hairs. She used to pluck them out when we were dating. Lord have mercy. If she tried that today, I'd need a toupee, right, to pull them out. Why? You said, I got my first gray hair when I was 16 years of age, right? So you say, preacher, what's the significance? And that's what Solomon's saying. The body, it ages, it gets older. Brother Conte, we saw a guy, Brother Dave Conte, we saw a guy at the restaurant yesterday. He was an Italian guy. He was a little bitty guy, and he was probably, I'm guessing, 60s maybe, 50s, 60s. He had jet black hair and his little bitty mustache, kind of walking there with a swagger with his what was that thing? What kind of thing he had on? He had his gun. No, he had a sweatpants suit on. And I told my wife, I said, that is Dave Conte 30 years ago right there. You say, yeah, and if you would have said that 30 years ago, he would have buried you where Jimmy Hoffa is. Did I just say that? I'm so sorry. That's on the World Wide Web. Dave Conte's his name. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. The FBI, you got to be careful using words like that, Dave Conte. Don't lead me down that dangerous path. But let's look what else he says. And we're going to give invitation. Last part of verse 5. Grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. That often happens as you get older. So I told you, and statistics are proven, outside of, actually, it may be the number one, I'd have to check on it, but the number one age of suicide is senior adults. That breaks my heart to think of that. Desire shall fail. But then notice what he says in verse 5, the last part. Because man goeth to his long home. The mourners, he says, go about the streets. When did the mourners show up? When you died. But man goeth to his long home. This world is not our home. What is our home? Go to Philippians chapter 3 and we'll close. Philippians chapter 3, turn there real fast. We'll close, give an invitation. Philippians 3, New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So if you can get within those books. Philippians chapter 3. Solomon said, man goeth to his long home. Philippians 3, verse 20. Paul writes to a local church in Philippi, and he says these words, for our conversation, the word conversation there means citizenship. For our conversation, our citizenship, you and I are American citizens. We are citizens of the United States of America. We travel all over the world. What will be asked? What did you? If you show up at the border in Canada, as you're headed into Canada there and they're on the bridge, they'll ask you, what is your citizenship? You say United States of America. Why? Because you're recognized as a United States American citizen. The Apostle Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven. If you know Christ as your Savior, your citizenship is in heaven. So what does it mean for you're a citizen of heaven? You belong there. Amen? You're going there. You belong there. And Paul goes on, from whence, heaven, also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the notes, verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that's his physical body, his physical body that's dying, the physical body where the hands begin to shake, the physical body where the eyes no longer see, the physical bodies where the hearing it begins to get diminished, the physical body where the hair turns gray, the physical body on and on and on and on becomes fearful, scared of heights and fearful, and the desires often of life fail as we age, and that's not good. But the good news is, it's not the final chapter. This physical body is not the final chapter of my life. It's not yours either. And Paul says, Jesus, verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You see, this world is not our home. I say thank God for that. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus for that. You say, preacher, this world is hard. This world is difficult. Yes, it is. I would never say that it isn't. But one thing I will promise you, as long as you have breath in your body, you and I have an opportunity to live for Jesus. You and I have an opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior. You and I have an opportunity to make Him known to a lost and dying world. You say, preacher, my physical body, because of my physical body and the pains of my physical body, I feel like there is no value in me anymore. Oh, friend, please do not listen to the liar called Satan. There is a lot of value in you. The Lord Jesus Christ still has you on this earth for a reason. And until He, listen, and until He calls you home, may we always find our value in the Savior that we love, in the Savior that gave His life for us 2,000 years ago. He born us again to His family and kingdom. And one of these days, if it's the rapture, He's going to come and get us. But even in death, He's never left us. He will never forsake us. He's going to usher us into His very presence. And I hope it encouraged you tonight. We laughed. We covered some dark subjects. But I hope you're encouraged tonight to know that this world is not my final dwelling place. Thank God that it isn't. If we live to be 110 years old, it's still not our final dwelling place. We're going home to be with our Savior. Hebrews 11:13, I believe, is a tremendous verse. It talks about we walk by faith and how those Old Testament believers, they just serve God and they walk by faith and they believe God. They look for a city, the Bible talks about. If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. You know, messages like this maybe touch your heart about some things. You just like to come to the altar and just thank the Lord Jesus for the cross of Calvary and how it changed your destiny. It changed where you're going to dwell for eternity. Maybe you'd like to do that. Stand with me, please, for invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. We trust if God's spoken to your heart, maybe in a matter of salvation. Maybe you're not saved. Tonight you'd like to trust Christ, your Savior, repenting of your sin, believing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe that's your desire. But whatever your desire is, we encourage you to come. Brother Brian, what's our number?
312.
Hymn number 312. Get the instruments, a chance to get there. But again, maybe in there in the quietness of your pew, you just want to bow your heart and head to God and say, Lord, thank you that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through it. We're pilgrims and strangers. Hebrews talks about it. 1 Peter talks about it. Pilgrims and strangers. God never intended for us to get our roots too deep in this world. He intends for us to keep our eyes on the sky, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You come as we sing. Well, amen. We appreciate your good attention tonight. Thank you for coming, being part of our service. Tremendous crowd for Wednesday night. Noah Wan is going on. How many we count, Stevie? 105. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. During invitation, Caitlin Jankowski comes forward, and Caitlin had trusted Christ as her Savior a few days back, and she'd like to unite with our church through baptism, and we need a motion and second on the floor to accept her by baptism. Dad makes a motion. Steve Jankowski makes a motion. Second, Brother Bill makes a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Make it known by uplifting the hand. Any opposed by like sign? We say absolutely none. And we thank God for that. And what a joy it is we'll be baptizing her this week. Stevie, come on down here. I want you to come down with your family. And come on up here, hon, if you will. We want to come by and give you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you into our church family. You can stand up here, Trace. Come on down. Big brother with a ticklish armpits. You can stand up here, too. Connor's got ticklish armpits. I'm telling you, try them. You can get them. They're ticklish. And Brother Brian, any last words of announcements?
Just one real quick. This Friday starts our softball season at Centerline Memorial Park. 6:15 is the first game, 7:25 is the second. So doubleheader this Friday, May 15th.